Okay, Bruce. Before we begin, I just want to say that before I introduce Rabbi Yosh is the halachic advisor of Chaim Aruchim. Chaim Aruchim is a new project of the Aguda. We'll hear a little bit more about it later, dealing with the end-of-life issues and some of the legislative issues and as well as the community issues. In the short period of time, Rabbi Yosh has gotten a lot of phone calls from a lot of different people about different shilas, and I'm sure we're all going to benefit from his shir. He's the Rosh Chabura from Rosh Kail from the Kail of Rabbi Chatzkel Roth. We're going to begin with Rabbi Aaron Weisfeld, who's the project director of Chaim Aruchim. He's going to read the case that we're going to discuss in English, and then afterwards we're going to have a discussion on this particular case and all the shilas and all the discussions, the halacha will be, hopefully, be clearer. Okay, Rabbi Weisfeld.
Shkoyach, Reb Shmuel. Before I start, I would like to just say something. This week is Parshas Vayakel. Vayakel Moshe starts off that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Klal Yisrael, extra act of gathering. So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael for months already. Why is there extra act of gathering now in Parshas Vayakel? So the Chaim HaKadosh says, being that we have to the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu was Koran upon of. There was a special a light shining from his face, which Klal Yisrael was scared of. So Klal, many people thought, you know, I'm not going to the Beis Medrash anymore. You know, it's frightening for me. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to make a conference. He had to call Vayakel, call people together, and he's in the Chaim Kedesh says, I'll call Yisrael. Nobody could think, no, it's not for me, it's frightening for me. In these issues, end-of-life issues, many people, a few months ago, I met a Dayan, who was a well-known Dayan, Chaim Yerdeya, and he was even attended some seminars that Metropolitan, the health systems put together for Rabbonim, and he tells me, these in the Onam, that's not for me. I can't handle it. Archaim, he could pass in the Shabbos, here or there. But Archaim Kodesh says, there's no such a thing. Every part of Torah is for everybody. So just hope that this conference would, you know, will help, that will be Marbe Torah, Marbe the Halachas, and will be Marbe Chaim, Mavada Chaim Aruch, Mavada for everybody. So I have here, I'm going to give it out a case study. This was written up by one of the... I have two cases, basically. The first case is the case that Rabbi Yosh is going to talk about, and the second case that I'm going to give out was a case was written up by a doctor, and whoever could read it could see, you know, to see... It's also interesting to read the case and see how it was written up, what the preferences of the doctor was already in the case written up. But first of all, this case is a case that actually happened. And the case was written up once, and I showed the case to Rabbi Yosh, and he told me, you know, it doesn't say anything here. The question was very, you know, most of the information was missing. And, you know, maybe somebody soon, maybe I'll give out the case how it was originally written up in a way that people shouldn't have all the information, that the questions should sound like, oh, it's only, the parameter, it's not so wide, the question. So we went back and it was written up again. And maybe even so, if you find out, you know, there are questions which still have to be asked and still have to be... So everyone has the, you know, the paper, the case study. Everyone has a paper. An 83-year-old woman with advanced dementia was a hospice patient residing in a nursing home. She was DNR, DNI, and her son was a healthcare proxy. Now, it does not say why she was a DNR, DNI. It's not mentioned there. One evening, patient showed signs of agitation and significantly difficulty breathing. Although the hospice on-call system should have been contacted, the aide in the nursing home called Atzola and the paramedics brought the patient to an emergency department. The reason for that is usually that patients in DNR, DNI in a nursing home is on hospice care. They don't call emergency services, they call the hospice, and if it's, you know, they try to do treatment whatever they could in the hospital. But being here, they panicked, so they called Atzal and they took the lady to a nursing home, to the emergency room. The patient was admitted with a diagnosis of aspiration pneumonia, sepsis, and hypertension. She was admitted to the ICU and given antibiotics, action fluids, and dopamine. I don't know if she would have stayed in the, what would have happened if she stayed in the nursing home, the hospice unit would have caused, but this is actually, this is what happened. The son was angry that his mother was brought to the hospital, but also expressed concern about her condition and comfort. The patient remained critically ill after admissions. Her blood pressure stabilized, but the dopamine could not be tapered without acute hypertension. She became edematous and developed ascites. The nurse manager and resident assigned to the case had a family meeting with the son to explain the edema and the persistent hypertension was a very poor prognostic sign and asked that the son, as HCP, consider discontinuing the dopamine. The son refused to make such a decision, and he did not want his mother to suffer, but also did not want to make a decision that would end her life. He called his mother's community rabbi to come to the hospital. The rabbi was present for the family meetings held with the son, nurse manager, and resident. The patient's attending physician was not present, which posed some type of problem, I think. The son asked the rabbi for his advice, guidance, and responding to the question about discontinuing the dopamine. The rabbi did not answer, but asked what would happen if the dopamine was stopped. Would she die? And would the drying process be natural? It was explained to the rabbi that continuing IV fluids in an attempt to maintain blood pressure would become increasingly inappropriate medically as the edema worsened. At some point, it would be contraindicated because the fluids would accumulate in the lungs and actually hasten death. There was no apparent medical avenue to improve the patient's physiology. The choices were to continue the same course until a medically induced complication like pulmonary edema occurred, and then treatment or withdraw therapy to withdraw therapy and allow nature to take its course. So here are three questions which are here that we should ask, and there's always more questions that Rabbi Arush would present, more questions that should be asked by the Rav, and information that might be missing, or might, in the overall picture, to give us, to know where to head. So the questions are, who should have been part of the decision-making process? So before we even ask Rabbi Arush, we know that the doctor who was the primary doctor wasn't there, so which compromised a lot about knowing about the patient. Then the next is, what relevant questions should the rabbi ask in order to render a halachic decision, and under what circumstances might it be rendered permissible to discontinue the dopamine, which is actually the shaila, which is based over here. That was the only question. The question was if the dopamine should be continued or discontinued. One of the things with Rabbi Arush will address is the other shailas, is the question only on the dopamine, or there's other things that maybe we should take into account or not. I want to call up Rabbi Arush. I just want to thank Rabbi Arush publicly for the past few months that I've been with Rabbi Arush. Always been accessible and always willing to answer and to talk about these things and to explain things, how things should be. I want to thank Ashkoyach, and I want to call up Rabbi Arush now.
And all the crowd is gathered here. My talking in English may not be the best expression of me, not the most perfect, because I'm not used to talk, I usually talk Yiddish when I talk Baram. I'll try to talk in English, but I have to apologize for the audience if I'll have to interrupt them and talk in Yiddish to express more Divrei Halucha or something, and Rabbi Weisfeld will assist me. I want to thank everyone for coming. And I want to greet and welcome Rabbi Wiener from Yerushalayim Yad HaKodesh, who I was fortunate to learn and to know 2 months ago when we met in a meeting. He's a very, very big asset to this project. Of course, Rabbi Lefkowitz, who is the Riach HaChaim in the Chaim Erucham, and then Rabbi Weisfeld, who has his hands on a daily basis and sees what's happening and what should be done, what should not be done. We have to know, you know, this subject is dealing with nefushas. It's something that we sometimes require the halucha, the psak of Sanhedrin. It's mamish sometimes dealing with nefushas. But still, you know, middach emfer, we have to answer, you know, if he asked. We have to say something. In halucha, we see very little in the old paskim that can be applied on a daily basis for nowadays shalas with the technology. At one point, Be'ezus Hashem is burach, a lot of people, as you all know, are being life extended because of new technology. Hashem is burach, given the minds of the scientists to come up with a lot of good things that can help people preserve life, lengthen life, work Hashem for that. On the other hand, of course, it creates its own set of shilas in certain circumstances that we've just seen now, that we've just heard now. But before we go into it, I would like to talk about the importance of life. Just to mention a few, I think there's some here in the Bira Lucha, I'll talk about it. The importance of Torah mitzvahs and the importance of Ayidish and Neshuma, despite not being able to physically perform Torah mitzvahs. It was a Siyata Deshmaya, someone came up to me a few weeks ago with a shayla, not a knife and death shayla. And Agav, he told me a very interesting Durish Moshe from Ramoshe Zetzal in Parshas Masai. There's a pusik over there, Ke'adam hi yachnif u'esuretz. So Moshe is asking, what is Lushin Yachnif? Yachnif is Chanifa. What is the Kedam Yachnif as Uritz? I'll recite this Lushin so everyone can understand. But Nuchan and Nis Dati, the Af, the Chol Hamalchis, Makpidis al Shviches Dumum. All the nations are Makpid, not someone to kill someone else, to be Shoifer Dam. We come to come, yes, Chili Gudel, mein Kepedusam, Lise Shviches Dumum, Shibetoire. The Kepaidus Hamalchius, Himitzat Yishevu Oilam. Luchanim Nidmeloi, Shadrabe, Chavaira Makalkel Yishevu Oilam, Fidatoi Hasechle, Heuriklach Vairoi. Mitzat Ze, Yeshun Chumus Boilam. Void, Metzdikim Atzma, Bachoshwam, Schlepe Ali Uvel, El Oitikni Beze. Vagam, Vadai Ein Makpidem Alchaye Shukalal. Veloi Alchaye Zuken. We know that. Kiridish Eina Rofem Stadum Kokach Bad Zuken. But numerous times, doctors say, you know, I'm not any insulting any doctors here who are showing the mitzvahs. We're talking about, you know, just the medical establishment. Tis already had enough, leave him go. Aber iser ha-teure, him etzat cheshiva se'udam. Veluchayn, avsh ein zoydech boyle yishiva oylam, he doesn't contribute anything to society. Name Usala Hargoy, Boyser Khoimer Atzmoy, Vafle Shoite, Vafle Chaye Shu, Yeshne Ois Isser Atzmoy, Mimiter Bishmuzele Chal Shabbos. Nimzu, Gesheichot Heurig Chavairoi, Machmashele Fidato im Kalkel Yisheva Oilam, im Machnel Uretz Gibshitoi, Shfidato, Huudom, Hituffel Uretz, Veloiko Emmes, Shiderich Atoire, Shadrabe, Huuretz, Tuffel Lehuudom. That symbolizes the distinction between the Derech HaTorah, how it has to approach such a shilas, and the secular world, how they approach such a shilas. But again, it's Dina Nefushas. We'll say something here. Asking from Hashem is Burach, Shilin Likush L'Bedvar Alucha. And of course, things can change as medical science changes, as the knowledge changes. But we'll talk out a little here. Of course, I think you all learned in the Bira Lucha that Rabbi Wiener has cited. And I would like to read it again loud. It has very great importance to our discussion today. Yeah. It's a page 32, yeah? The Dailing Machaber, I feel a Matsi Meritzitz, someone is under a blast, under an explosion. His brain is Meritzitz, it's smashed. Shanyuchel Chayes, I feel a Elulifishu, Mefakchen the Botkin at Choitmoy. So we have to look and see in his nose if he has any Chayes or not. We can imagine if his brain sustained severe major injury, it got smashed, he can't talk, he's unconscious. I mean, he's nothing. He's worse than a vegetable. You still have to pull away at least the debris and everything on him that he can survive for a period of time more. Without removing him, he will die very shortly. Removing this pressure on his head, he'll survive a little more. We don't know how much. So let's see the Bira Lucha inside. Eilu lefishu. Shanuch lechayes eilu lefishu. Va'af al gav delishayach huche hatam chal shabbos achas g'day sheyishmir shabbos es harba. The Bira Lucha, the Rav dafke shabbos. I feel it nish kenen hitin ka shabbos. Ich dafke kenen hitin shabbos. Ili shami zetel ish kenen tin. Kmo shikusev amiri b'yime b'zele shoynoi. ואף הפי שנסבר שירי אף שלו לחייס, אפילו לשו אחס, שבוי סישו יושב בליבו ויזוודה. עד כאלה שוינה פילה מירי. אמנם, זה דביר לוחה, באמס נר דחול זה לטעמת בעלמה, אבל לדינה, לטו לכלל במצווס. דעין הטעם, דדכין המצווה אחס, אז במקיח נפש, בשביל הרבה מצווס, אבל כן, נשפט את בקענת המאה מצווס. אלה דחינם כל המצווס בשביל חיים של ישראל. The leben von Ayid is hecher wie alle mitzvahs. Gedialach lo shmir mevachai behem. Ketkuz ram pari kabait mehilke Shabbos. Shain mishpetai ha teure ne kumen beoilam. Ele rachmem vecheset vishulam beoilam. Ik kemoy ken, ulchana tenu edal yalfalam mevizbayach memilem machteres. Vizis doiche Shabbos. Michrech dachayim shudun kupet rachmuna. Gaan mochrig le smiel de umr gabatnik mislig barof eine jidem de mfakten af mit dalp in die eine gummer am treft da kind na praat es darauf goyem de daluche de heißt der gagoy ob bald daluche ein hof bekeer de vers ager darauf mis mit em gal shabbes aan ratten nem unem das ja jid aber der vater der zaan der schalt nu speter ketoy de mitzwas wel kaage mitzwas af beken kim kier neves ein hof en ager darauf geschine sham yisrul hi Und wie seht ihr, der Biraluche Bruder, da viele Kuten meritzt, er ist meritzt, nahmen wir Chalern, aber Pidel Jishmische Wusses, gam Lois wade, will Juwit klall Gudel, er hat he won't survive. Aber wir kennen wir Chalern, und wir kennen hier den Cherisch, wie Scheute, aber gab der einen Benein Mitzwitz, wir kommen mit dem Chalern, der Hudel mit keinem Mitzwitz, nämlich in Onsai. Loi nufa miklal zeh el Yisruel mimmele hachet, oibel bameiret, aber cherish, vishoyte, hat teure, betrenne machnas an zay. Mal wad zeh, gab cherish, vishoyte, vishite de mechallen alayim, Shabbos, do afile ne rugen alayim. De gam hem miklal ishki jakek nefesh, kol di nefesh, kom ikuten, gam hem miklal lesam da dam reecho. Kishar Yisruel, viferish amre teure, sikala cherish, in malke alayim. Okay. We'll skip, da. Two shiras down. Here din goises nama, ja, machal ulope fakir hakal, hagal. Oim roife, oimus is mamunim ili ili laharig riga chayov, meg menochet. Maar dit is de demonstrant, de Chivs Yankov, de Chivs brengt is. Die lucht brengt de sheruf van de Chivs Yankov. Favus, numeritz, het nama goises si. De gura gurma goises. De lekker bezee, afele meite de meite, who are going to survive. Afele peken, So what we see from this Biralucha, from this Mishnah, we see, number one, the importance and the holiness of a Nefesh Mi'Yisruel, a Nishmas Yisruel, that we have to make every effort to keep him alive. There's also a Rechaim HaKudosh last week, who says, we're talking about Pekich Nefesh, to be Mechalal Shabbos for a Yid, he says that Nishmas Yisruel is more Kudosh than Kedisha Shabbos. Because always, the one who's more holier is doiche, the one who's not so holy, it's not so kodesh. Shabbos, the kodesh Shabbos, I kodesh Yisroel, and Nishmas Yisroel is not heiliger. So, at one point here, we see that how our goyim and tzaddikim from before were writing and passing lalucha about saving and keeping alive Ayid. The question is, number one, what heroic measures should we do, or are we allowed to do, to sustain a life, as we see here? Now, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote the Shvitz Yaakov, so the Shvitz Yaakov is here in the packet, Rabbi Weinland assembled, and that's in Chayli Gimel, Semigites. Over there it says, I have to retract. It says, Chaylik Aleph Simin Yid Gimel. Chaylik Aleph Simin Yisrael. Chaylik Aleph Simin Gimel. Over there it says that the Lucha is a goyis you're not allowed to touch. We all learned it here. He says this only where you cannot help him. If you have a medication to retract him and bring him back not to be a goyis, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it. He brings that eye from a Gemurah. When someone was drinking poison or something like this, Nuchashatam gebissen, that's what the Zuri also have it here. So you give him something, he's definitely going to die, but give him something, he could be Metzava, in the meantime for his family. Although the Raya is not, we can ask on the Raya, because over there he can talk. And what is, in the Goises, whatever, from Ritz, it's not a Raya from this, because he can't do anything. But Kapunam, In the case that we can avert the gesisa and can still be able to function something, of course we have all rayas, we have to do that. That's the biralucha here. Well, what they are talking actually is that someone lies in a building who was bombed or was smashed, and you remove the debris and you take them out, they can survive something. You're only doing something, you're taking away something that is causing him to be killed soon, to die sooner, to die fast. You're taking something away and he's going to survive longer. What we're talking nowadays is a different story altogether. I'm going to see some cases. I'll give a typical example. A man who was diagnosed with cancer of his colon. So when at the time of a diagnosis, he had also liver metastases. He had this surgical resection of the tumor of the colon. And that thereafter, he got courses of chemotherapy. It stabilized him somehow, but unfortunately, disease progressed. It came to the point that the liver metastases were more and more giving its effect. The liver function started to deteriorate, with all the attendant problems that comes with it. His body filled up with fluid. He's in its advanced stage. He's in a semi-coma. The liver doesn't function well, so that goes on. I don't have to explain everything that people know here. It goes to the brain. It causes dysfunction all over, and he's sleeping. He's sleeping, and he's barely arousable. We cannot, unfortunately, whatever we're going to find, even get the best chemo now, and he will shrink his tumors, his liver is gone. Basically, his liver is gone. And he won't, Pidere Chateva, he will not survive. So as unfortunately the course goes on, he develops cardiac arrest. Okay. Which is unfortunately the natural terminal event of his disease. But what are we going to do? Should we give him, administer CPR and intubate him and keep him alive another few hours maybe, or maybe a day? But he won't be, he's not here. I mean, he's currently must be sedated. Probably cannot sedate him with such a gross abnormalities in his liver function. And that's not life. This does not mean the Bira Luchahi we just read, or the Shvisi Yankov. We're not talking about this. We're talking a different thing here. So that's for sure that we don't have to intervene. This is what happens, unfortunately. And this is the end of the game, end of life. We'll see soon maybe different things, how to apply this Bira Lucha, the Shvisi Yankov. So we get back to this case study that Rabbi Weisfeld read here. As he's mentioned, I mean, DNI, why the son signed such a DNR, a DNI son? It doesn't say here. The son was angry that his mother was brought to the hospital. It's not a pidei chatoire. The son was totally wrong. Totally wrong. Why? Yes, his mother has dementia, Alzheimer's dementia. She's begeder shoite. We just read here. This is das teure. This is da lucha. We have to be machala Shabbos for her if anything comes on. If there is an intercurrent problem in her condition, she aspirated, which is unfortunately common. They can't swallow after a later stage. And she gets a pneumonia. This has to be treated fully aggressively. No matter what the outcome is, or no matter what her contribution to society is, whether she's a vegetable, bedridden, it doesn't matter. This condition, the intercurrent condition, is a reversible condition. It carries a high mortality, unfortunately, because she can go into septic shock. Yes, that everything can be treated, and she can come off the respirator and function as she functioned, more or less the same. You have to do it. It's almost wrong. Medically, I don't understand. She became edematous and developed ascites. Probably something missing here. Maybe she had congestive heart failure history from before. And as Rabbi Weisfeld mentioned before, the attending doctor should have been there. You know, whenever you have such a decisions to make, the Shishyakin brings also down with regarding surgery, where it has a high mortality but a high potential for cure the patient. You have to consult with a lot of doctors, and you know, with not just you know a resident or fellow. I mean, full respect to them; they're learning. They're you know, of course. But at least you have to have an experienced doctor being at the case at the meeting present, and give all the facts, and then decide what's the appropriate thing to do. So let's get the questions here. Who should be part of the decision-making process? Decision-making process belongs to the Aruf. It's a dina d'fusha shala. Of course, the Aruf has to get the expert opinion of the doctor. Full facts, what the doctor says, what her condition is, and so forth. This decision-making process does not belong to the patient herself. Of course, now she's incapacitated. It doesn't belong to the son either. It's a luchadige shaila, dina d'fushas. It has nothing to do with the son. What relevant question the rabbi asked in order to render a halachic decision? You know, giving dopamine vasopressors has its own set of problems. Up to the point, I know the medical audience will know that, will acknowledge that, that it can shorten life too. It has a lot of complications. But, you know, it's in a typical case, this one, which is, looks to be it's septic shock. aspiration pneumonia, sepsis, and hypertension. Of course, they can go into septic shock, and they require suppressors. That's on a temporary basis. Once they come out from shock, things get better. So the question, the answer to this particular case, what I would say, Lanier's Dati, is it is the hope that this patient will come out of septic shock. It can take a while. Until this takes time, we should continue with all the interventions that were instituted at the beginning, which will not stop. Unless there are other intercurrent illnesses that come on to her, who knows, I'm a massive stroke, that, you know, there's no real chance for survival at all, then it has to be talked out, and then it could be that you don't have to refill the bag with vasopressors. Yeah, the question is multi-organ system failures. Again, this is a part of, if it's part of the septic shock, of course, you first treat aggressively as much as you can. And people do survive. It carries a high mortality. I hope you reach Akhararov. A lot of people survive with that, survive it, and, you know, we should do it. And Moshe writes the Chuvas, and it's all the other Choymos, so she's got in first over there. You're not allowed to walk away from her. You have to take care of her. You have to complete her care. There's no such thing to take out someone else because she's hopeless, for whatever reason it is. Also, this Mamash Dinan Nefushis from, you know, I'm trying to say something here, but I should not be quoted. You know what I mean? It comes to a case. We have to go in again with COVID Rosh, each case taken individually. Of course, if she has been taken care of, she has her bed in the ICU, she's not allowed to change her. She must be kept over there to the full care. And also, there's a Mincha Shloime I would like to quote. Yeah, it's a very good question, and that's why it's always important to talk to medical people who understand a little medicine too, and they'll know when to challenge the doctor. It's unfortunately common today that they don't say the real truth. You know, they give a very hopeless outlook, despite then the back of their mind, you know, will be a close relative to them, they probably not talk like this. Yeah, it's true. It's a very good question, and it's very common, you know. It's always important, you know, to consult with other rabbis who have a little knowledge of medicine, you know, and, yeah. How can we implement that? That's a question. Our goal is, I'm not going to educate all the rabbis here to understand medicine, you know. That doesn't go like this.
Yeah. Assume the case here is that the patient is getting maximum medical therapy, they're on the antibiotic, not responding, and they're deteriorating.
Okay.
Because that's not the strategy. But they're not making blood pressure. Do you handle the next bottle of dope?
Yes. We should try to do everything that to see. Yeah. Because it's still a chance the patient may survive. If the antibiotics itself is deteriorating the patient,
they're getting the old antibiotics, and on the antibiotics they're getting worse.
Okay.
The assumption that it'll work is unlikely.
Fine. Is there 1%, 2% chance they're going to make it? Huh?
Online.
That's something else. Okay, so short-term life now, doing this. We assume the patient is not conscious. Of course, it's intubated, I guess. Give it all this. Yeah, that we just mentioned before. I mean, with an intercurrent illness, as we just mentioned, like massive stroke, something like this, that's for sure. That's not a question. You don't have to continue the vasopressors.
Why is a massive stroke different?
We don't know for sure. I mean, there's still, I guess, as a example, I don't know if someone can tell that exactly, but a massive stroke, a massive hemorrhage, something, we know that this patient is not going to survive. It's no way possible. And this, and a septic shock, they still pass, you know, it looks very bad in the beginning, but some people creep out.
So the only reason why we continue the dose is because of the subject, maybe they'll respond?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yes.
If an hour or 2 hours from now, they got worse. We have the next bottle.
What made worse? The
blood pressure dropped before. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I mentioned here, that the beer looker does not discuss this aspect of a Shiloh, right? Talking about removing someone from a mapoilus, this is something else. Here we're talking giving potentially, you know, life-shortening drugs, potentially. I mean, heroic measures to keep someone alive, like the smirk or something like this. We don't see any source that we have to do it.
Alive.
In such a vegetative state, I mean, like such a critical state. We don't have any evidence, I mean, only Shoydish and Aluchal for that. What we have here is removing them from something that's going to hasten their death. Right? That's the Bir Aluchal. We don't have any source to this type of a Shaila.
So,
what means to... Yes. I can't say exactly what we're going to do. There is a mukam to say you don't have to continue the vasopressors. If it comes to that point, the patient is constantly deteriorating, the pressure dropping and dropping. Yes. Don't have to continue the... It's a mukam. I'm not saying
the
psak aluha. The question is if it has a look of agosis.
No, let's
we don't know it. We don't know. They're probably not in Yisurim. I mean, physically, I don't see why. I mean, septic shock, I mean, there shouldn't be...
Okay, so then why the person with the stroke, am I not continuing it? They'll live an extra 2 hours with the next bottle.
But that's not life. That's nothing. It's nothing. It's okay, I'll step back. Giving vasopressors in septic shock is an intention to cure the patient somehow. Yeah, right, to cure him. We continue until we have... until we think we can still, you know, still have a chance to survive. A stroke patient, the massive stroke, is not going to survive, period. There's nothing to do. So, and the state he's now is moiches meritzitz. There's no chiv to do anything. Except to remove him from a place that is pumping on him. Looks like, yeah. That is, yes, exactly. Unless the patient is still alert to some degree, which is not possible, I mean, in the circumstances we're talking.
So why is my mother ahead to allow them to not attack my next bottle when the body can die?
Yeah, they're going to die anyway, we know that, yeah. This question is for high issue here, yeah? That's all comes for chayashu. Now, what does chayashu here means? Chayashu to remain as a vegetable, but worse than a vegetable, right? we can only do that to remove something from him. But giving him Bikimvasai, potentially toxic drugs, that's vasopressors, not true, maybe they can shorten his life also. We don't have any source for that. That's what I'm telling you. See, we don't have no source. If it's Yankov, it's Vera Lucha. Yeah, yeah. Who has the Sufik? No. The Bira Lucha, the Bira Lucha is the Chlur, when it's just Yaakov, what they're talking is only Avek to name of a name, Azapos and Tzial and the Misa. Gave me a Bekim Basai, Zachmus can a Mimus and Ochet, when it's Mechiev. With Sheval Tasa. This is the Chai issue. The Chai issue is begrieft the game come to see and the man is at sich gestorben. Is that good enough to him? Is that a ganz karai the farm, kitzer. Yeah. Yeah. Was ich stei du, was mir gala Shabbat sein ist, er weckt zu nehmen von ihm, so ein Zial in der Miese. Stei ich, er sagt, das ist ein Schabbat. Du hast das nicht tun. Ja. Kein Brengen, Dopamin, von weiß mit Chilal Shabbat, und er geht es anders, ist ein Schabbat, wenn wir es tun. Yeah. Over there, it's a real high issue. Yeah, but that's a question of Shus Yaakov. That's all this in Shus Yaakov. Nishkaraya, that's what I'm talking. And these days, we just mentioned before, what's the high issue for the Levin for the Yid? As these Tzakir, as Ungshma Yisrul, I can't hear, I can't anything thing, I feel it in a short time. This is a Levin, this is a Tzakir Levin. But when I mentioned Shana, with the Weiz, Fadling, the Weiz, it's good, nicht. In mit da noch kein 10 Sachen wo es ist statisch das ist alles was wir reden von Menschen noch du von Menschen noch du ja Menschen noch du rat zu verschiedene zieren someone has advanced prostate cancer and bone metastases. See, you see him in the room, the Rabbi Shalom Pitten. See him in the room. And he doesn't want to resist any treatment. And it's gerecht. You know, make him force now. Do it, tell him. Good question. I guess Moshe do wegen dem. I mean, I'm thinking it over wegen dem do. Als meer. Hoe zei ze? Is het een jure? No, we should still treat with all antibiotics possible, with full aggressively. Does she have a zero chance of survival? The septic shock is always not always being septic shock is shock, but the underlying the shock is the consequence of this.
The underlying condition that caused the shock has to
But I know, what we know, that treating septic shock only with antibiotics will not work.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. You see, I understand, yeah. The question is, how do you know for 100% sure that all these bugs are resistant to antibiotics from the lab? Yeah, I understand, yeah. This may be sometimes a subjective thing too. It's
related to the ghost. This is an expert in epidemiology.
In where? Ophthalmology? Epidemiology, sure.
The fact that you don't have antibiotics that can kill the bug doesn't necessarily mean that the patient cannot overcome the pathogen. The fact that you don't have antibiotics that can kill the bug doesn't mean the patient cannot overcome the pathogen. Because bugs are overcome by autoimmunity, not by antibiotics. Antibiotics only help us. So it is possible to have a situation where you do not have antibiotics that can do the job, but the patient overcomes those bugs anyway.
So you would be comfortable in that situation stopping all antibiotics, allowing the patient's own immune system to work?
Because I'm not.
Not helping.
No. Antibiotics is not helping.
Correct.
So no, he was asking you. But maybe synergistically, they may help. Single, they won't help, but synergistically, they may help. It's probably, we don't have high hopes here, but it's still possible. Right. But still possible, we have to do it. We have to treat. We just mentioned a few of them.
He said
one is an intercurrent.
Stroke may be bleeding into his brain, but maybe the bleeding, it looks like it's going to hit the crucial area, but then it stops.
No. We knew he bled out a substantial amount of blood, that the whole brain shifted and everything. There's no chance for survival. We're talking Mumchem, big neurologist, who determined that, and that's a fact. It's no statistic here. This is zero survival. Well, we're talking with neurologists, when a vascular neurologist determined that. Okay, that's common after stroke, that the brain swells up, either ischemic stroke, whatever, but talking a major, huge hemorrhage, a big hematoma in the brain, there's no chance for survival. Yeah, that's what I'm talking, a hemorrhaging stroke, a hematoma, a major hematoma. Right. Otherwise, we'll mention that in the beginning.
The raised a point about your doctor going to visit you in the hospital. So where I live in Maryland, and I don't know what goes on here in New York, but when patients go to the hospital, the doctors hand over the care to the hospitalist, a doctor who is hired by the hospital to take care of the patients.
That's a new trend.
Doctors have a field to go to the hospital
You see, it depends on each doctor how comfortable he is with emergency, I mean, with inpatient care. Not all doctors are efficient in taking care of patients while they're very sick in the hospital. You know, different specialties have different, you know. So if he's comfortable with that, I mean, has experience and expertise, of course he should continue to maintain. But it's not always like this. It depends also which hospital we're dealing with. And also, the ICU is usually your doctor won't be able to take full charge of you anyway over there. The ICU will have a different set of doctors and different opinions. Nowadays?
Because once you're in a hospital, there's a lot of chaos. And the patient gets passed on from one doctor to another. And different orders are being, you know, you can leave a patient there and he can go home, just keep come back, and somebody else will give orders to do something else.
See, it depends why the person is hospitalized. You know, different things. You know, the patient is supposed to have a certain surgery. You know, usually the surgeon is in charge, or his fellows, and they know of each other. There's other issue what I'd like to discuss, which is not in the papers here. It's somehow called end of life, but it's not really end of life. I don't think apitoyre that has any merit vimizukt. People, let's say, will decide on themselves. They don't want any mechanical ventilation, respirator, in the case they get acutely sick and they require that. We talk now like cancer, something like this. But there's other things. There is, in congestive heart failure. So people are treated with diuretics, with beta blockers, and all this. But sometimes they develop pulmonary edema. So we know, whatever the reason is for pulmonary edema, there's many, many reasons. But we know most of the time it's reversible. You have to put them sometimes under the ventilator. But he can come off, and, you know, and a person's going to say, I signed DNR, I don't want. He will be charged the person is still up, still with his mind and everything. He still has a chance to survive further. Why should he resist a ventilator? You're not allowed to listen to him. Well, usually in congestive heart failure, you can get him off. Yeah.
But that's COPD then. He's okay now, but he may not get
off. It depends. If it's we're talking end stage, something else. But there is sometimes, if it wasn't careful with his salt or something, he overconsumed something, a valve problem that could be corrected, and in the meantime, he's having an acute decompensation. Of course, if he signs DNR, is a retzach. But we know in myelofibrosis, you do a bone marrow transplant, it has a high mortality. It has a significant mortality rate. So if someone chooses several times, he can't say, halucha, that's the Shvisi Yankov. Why? We know he's definitely going to die from myelofibrosis after a while. You give him a bone marrow transplant, he may die instantly because of, grass with holdies and all this. But he has a good chance to survive, even cured. You're allowed to do it. It doesn't say if it doesn't do it, it's considered to have, it has a high mortality, You're allowed to do it. Yeah. Because this has a potential high mortality also, so.
And the same thing with choosing between more aggressive and less aggressive protocols.
Yeah. That depends on the outcome, on the statistic of each individual place. The Meru can only tell him that, you're allowed to do it, and you won't be chai for achas dimcham if you elect to do it, because there's a high mortality in the beginning, with rejection and infection and everything.
If
I mean, he's going to have to live on tracheostomy. I mean, yeah. But he's well and up and down, yeah. Depends how's he going to function after that, you know? What is his... let's put it this way. There is a... Yes, he may... There is some circumstance that he may sign DNI. You know, if this episode takes him through, he won't, and you keep him on the respirator and then in tracheostomy and so on, his life will be very, you know, miserable, you know, it's with cold, all those comorbidities he may have and everything. That's probably not considered leben. That's not bechuyev to go that through. Everything, yes. Something. It's not Yisrael's quality of life. What is life? Yeah. What is life? Yeah. 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 The right to withdraw himself. Yes. Time to sign. Yeah. Yeah. But one other thing. Yeah. It's very difficult to gauge what parameters, you know, are what means life. But you have to take the person, see who it is, you know. The ganze hulich jaylich, you see. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The issue is here is another issue. The chat is with Azoy. But we're talking here heroic measures. Now, keeping a person alive on a ventilator has all set of complications, you know, and everything. Up here, look, we don't see that to that extent. We see basic things that we see in the we saw in the Paskim, the Shechanurich, and everything. But do heroic measures, this is something you have to think twice. But I want to... Huh?
Why does Mashiach also know? Please give life as an infinite value, and
any
part of it is infinite value.
Why
not we to everything?
Yes. We're the Mekoiris for them.
But
Mashiach also know. But it's not what Shavuot. He has a lot of side from that. it's not what Shavuot. What are you giving back to him? Yeah. That's also a potential life shortening thing. Also, you know, with this fluid shifts, the various. We'll not only prolong, who knows how long, until the next session. And this time you can get killed also. Well, this is something else. Yes, this is something else. But we're talking an acute, sick person who is allergic, you know, he doesn't, you know, and the only thing is to do with dialysis, and then, you know, he has poor cardiac reserve. It's a very dangerous thing. Yeah, well, there's maybe there's things they can do, a little small, you know, small intensive. We have some people here. Mumchum and Dad, the Metalon family. I mean, hemofiltration, that method, or anything?
Again?
By hemofiltration?
Yes, and those patients who are unstable, you also do hemofiltration, which is much more
out of it. No, we're talking in an ICU setting, you know what I mean? There's a...
I'm more.
At least under, if they're under your care. At least if they're under your care.
Absolutely.
If they're under your care. Yeah, well, I had the shallots multiple times. Yeah, yeah. Well, again, what's the underlying condition? Sometimes hospitalization can make things worse. You get infections and everything. It all depends, you know. Right, you're right. Shouldn't tell the patient, only the family. In the meantime, don't tell anything to the patient. We have the Shilin now with a patient with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, Ahmoud Islam. Now, he can live with a respirator for years, but what is that living? What is the life? What life is that? Nothing. He's a vet. He's On the other hand, if a patient elects not to go that through, you can condemn him. You can't force him. ALS, you know, has, I'm sure, you know, it, not all of them are able to type in computers and make khabirim, you know. patient himself, he can elect what he wants, and he can do it. We can't force him to go through such a suffering for years. It is real suffering. I would like to address to one other additional issue here, especially relevance to doctors. With the secular world today, with the issue of brain death. In Aluha, there's no such thing as brain death. So if a patient is connected to a ventilator and it was determined, wherever it is, that he has brain death, we are not allowed to withdraw the respirator from him. Withdrawing a respirator from him means retzicha. Yeah. You can't. Not even by Grumo. So, just to conclude a little here, I mean, again, we're not saying Aluha Lamaisa for everything to be applied, for everything we discussed here. Each case has to be weighed individually, and, you know, but we had some little guidelines here. And again, the world, you know, the secular world attached a lot of significance to the patient's decision for DNI, DNR. We have to know this is not purely a patient's decision. It has also to be ausgehalten by Aluha. And we wish for all of us, we have Shechaim Rechem, we should not have such a shyness.